This is Primal Potential, and I am your host, Elizabeth Benton. Primal Potential is about you. Your ability to change is not defined by yesterday and doesn't need to wait until tomorrow. Your transformation is now. Let's get started.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Primal Potential Podcast. I am here with Christopher.
Which means it's Saturday.
It is Saturday. Thank you so much for spending a little bit of your time with us. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
You just brought out my pineapple and cucumber and bell pepper to our chickens. Did the goats get it anything?
No, or the goats got none of it. It all went to the chickens.
It all went to the chickens.
The goats got all the Brussels sprouts yesterday.
Mm, we like giving our scraps to the animals.
Yes.
When we don't forget and throw them in the trash.
When you don't forget and throw them in the trash.
Well, you don't cut up a lot of vegetables,
exactly.
Do you?
Exactly.
Yeah. Anyway.
So let's not throw the we out there.
Fair enough. Fair enough. So today we are going to give away the Changemakers Journal again. I was, a couple weeks ago, I don't think I've talked about this yet. I did a 2-day kind of business intensive, hired a company to help me reimagine kind of where Primal is and where it's going and some of the messaging and that sort of stuff. And so one of the things that I had to do was talk to them about what we do and what we offer and some of our products and our programs and different things like that, which was cool. It was a cool opportunity to get to share about that. And I was sharing with them some of the feedback that I've gotten from people who have gotten the Changemakers Journal. And it's just, it's so cool. I have been very open about the fact that the whole reason I developed the Changemakers Journal was because I was struggling to get stuff done. I've always been, and Chris can attest to this because he, you know, obviously been part of my life long before Dagny died. It's always been easy for me to get up early and like get into work and be driven and focused and motivated and all of those things. And then after Dagny died, I just really struggled to find that. I mean, part of it is drive, but part of it is just the focus and the ability to move through things and get things done. And so I started just making up different templates for myself to really assist in focus and execution. And I was sharing them with people on the Primal Potential team. And after a couple iterations, they were like, this is seriously so helpful. And that's when we decided to make it available to you guys. But like one person, when I was sharing the testimonials, one person said, Trisha V actually said, is it too dramatic to say that the Changemakers Journal has changed my life? And that is the kind of the vibe from everybody. So I know that it is not in the budget for everybody right now. It is available now. We just made shipping free in the United States a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. But it's $49, but we're going to give one away at the end of the show today.
Lucky ducks.
Yeah. You want to dive into the questions with that said?
Yeah, sure.
What you got for me?
We like starting out with long ones.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's my question.
What's your question?
When I am sick or not feeling good because of a cold or allergies, etc., I binge. I think it's from childhood and being sick. We had to eat to show that we were better, but it's one area that I'm stuck on. I'm trying to think of a solution instead of focusing on the problem, and I'm no longer okay with using it as an excuse. But how do I stop?
All right. So when you're sick, binging. You know, this is one of those interesting paradigm shifts that we see not only with physical health, but also with mental and emotional health, right? There is the perspective, and I had it for a long time, that if I'm sick, if I'm stressed, if I'm tired, that is the reason to skip the workout, eat the crap, you know, that mindset. The other paradigm that I think is a shift available to all of us and very much the beginning of the how do I stop is this is when it matters most, right? So when you're not feeling well, there's a tick on your arm, Chris.
Let him chill. He's hungry.
No, we have a lot of ticks here. Y'all, I think he bit you.
Oh, he did.
Oh, gosh.
I got him out.
We interrupt this program for a tick bite.
It's Ooh. Just a deer tick.
That gives me the heebie-jeebies. Anyway, the paradigm that I think this begins with is shifting to This is when it matters most. It's not, well, if I'm feeling great, then I'll eat well. No, it actually is when you need it most, when you're not feeling well, because I'm always fascinated by the human body. And the fact is, the only thing that our body has for repair and function and just operating efficiently, the only thing our body has is what we give it. So if we are somehow under the weather, that is when we need to be providing the nutrients. That's when we need to be minimizing the sugar, the toxins, the chemicals, all of that kind of stuff. It comes from how you think about it. I totally understand the mindset of like, oh, well, I don't feel well, therefore. But you can choose any perspective. That is a perspective, but it is not the only perspective. And the more true, the more accurate, the more real perspective is that this is when your body needs it most. Now, hearkening back to childhood, and this person says like when they were young, they had to eat to show they were feeling better. You can do that without it being overboard, without it being classified as a binge, without it being foods that are not great for you. This is your opportunity to change the way you think about it fundamentally. So that's what I really think the how do you stop stems from how you think about these kinds of things. So with that said, next question.
Next question. What is the title of your new book? What are you most excited for us to read about in your new book?
So I haven't shared the title yet, although something big happened with the title this past week, didn't it, Christopher?
Yes, it did.
I actually changed the title of the book after having finished it, which meant having to kind of go back to the drawing board and rework a few things. I loved the first title. I love the second title, too. And in fact, part of why I changed the title came from that two-day business intensive that I mentioned at the top of the episode. So I haven't shared the title yet. I will soon. I want to make sure that we get it locked down with the cover team and all of those kinds of T's are crossed and I's are dotted. So I haven't shared it yet. I did just change it, but I'm really excited about it. In terms of what am I most excited for you guys to read about in it, there's not any one particular chapter or concept. What I'm most excited about is what the book delivers to you. So this is a book about navigating hard times and tools, practices, and perspectives for those hard times. And my hard time that was the catalyst for this was, of course, the loss of our daughter. But it doesn't matter if your hard time is a layoff or your hard time is just being in a funk, just an undefined kind of low spot in life where you're just not really feeling your mojo, or if it's a divorce or, you know, losing a loved one, as was my situation. Any tough time, it is tools, it is perspectives, it is practices for those things so that we don't say, oh, well, I can't. And this actually ties back to the last question of like, when I'm sick, I binge, how do I stop? One of the things I hear so often, because we have a Facebook group for people who have purchased the Changemakers Journal, and so many people will say, you know, I had a crazy week at work, so I didn't journal. Or I was in a really terrible mood yesterday, so I didn't journal, but I picked it back up today, or whatever it is. And that's when we need to do this work most, right? These are not mountaintop tools that we turn to only when life is going well. And I really want to help people realize that it's these hard moments, whether they're small, like it was a crappy day at work, or they're really, really significant, those aren't the times that we say, oh, well, I can't now because. Those are the times when it really matters most. So there's not any one concept or any one chapter or any one idea that I'm most excited about, but rather just generally speaking, getting these tools into your hands. I can't wait, and hopefully the book will be out in October of 2021.
More tools.
Yeah. You've only heard like what, one chapter, I think?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I did. What, did I read it to you or did you read it yourself?
I don't recall.
Yeah. Anyway, next.
What do you do when you feel like your dream isn't possible and you feel empty?
If find evidence that it is possible. Because you can totally convince yourself that it's not possible, but you can also totally convince yourself that it is. And I think I've used this example very recently. I don't know. Tell me if this sounds familiar to you, Chris. When Jeff Bezos was starting out, he absolutely could have convinced himself that it wasn't possible to be like the biggest retailer in the world and become a $1 billion company inside of X many years. Like, right. he totally could have convinced himself that that wasn't
That's
possible.
That's not going to happen.
But the reality is, he also can convince himself that it is. And the same thing we could say of Elon Musk, right? He totally could convince himself.
I'm not going to take Dogecoin to the moon, but he is.
Or any number of other things, like the underground rail system from
the Hyperloop.
Yeah. Was it from Vegas to LA or something? Yeah. I'm sure that there's a million reasons that somebody could settle in on that's not possible. But you also can settle in on how and why it is possible. I for sure could have convinced myself that starting a business and making more in my first year of business than I was making in my job when I was doing well in my job, I could have told myself that's never going to happen and it's not possible. You choose. So you, when you say, I feel like my dream isn't possible, that's because you settled on that perspective. And that is not the only one that is available to you. So go talk to other people who have done big things. Doesn't have to be the same kind of thing that you've done, but get around people who have done big things, whether that is somebody who has a high school education, but now they're, you know, making seven figures a year, or somebody who was the first person in their family to go to college and now they're a doctor. Or it doesn't have to be on the Jeff Bezos or Elon Musk level, but it can be. Find somebody who has defied the odds, because realize that it's not about whether or not your dream is actually possible. It is about what story you settle on. If you feel empty, tell yourself a different story. Absolutely, positively, we can all convince ourselves that like things are bad and things are hard and yada, yada, yada. But that is not the only perspective available. And you have to open up your mind to other options. This is exactly what it means to become a better thinker. This is what it means.
Hashtag facts.
And we're recording this in the evening, but I feel like I've got a little like pep.
You
Zoom.
Do. I could tell by the looks you were shooting me when I wasn't able to light that darn match.
He's trying to burn a tick while we're recording. And the problem is he wastes, what, three matches?
Two matches.
And
they
I take
snapping.
One. And I take one and I light it in a fraction of a second.
They're cheap.
Wait a second. Did I light
you
the first
did.
One? Okay.
You did. Mine kept breaking.
Yeah, because you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, all right. I don't know
I
how to
saved you. I recognized the tick.
It's a wood tick. It wasn't going to do anything to me.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I meant thank you.
Yeah. Okay. And I lit the stupid match. What else do you have for me?
What parenting books are you reading, if any? Well, I can say for one, I am just waiting for the book that they give us at the hospital after he's born. Right? That's a thing. How to.
And then you wouldn't read it.
It's an instruction manual is my understanding.
And then you wouldn't read it.
Yeah. Right.
So
men don't follow instructions.
Parenting. I'm not really reading any parenting books yet. I think it's a little premature for parenting books. I'm a big fan of like just-in-time information. I don't need to like be reading about how to deal with like toddler tantrums or like have conversations with kids, because
yeah.
it's just that's not in the near-term future. So I'm not really reading any parenting books. I have read, you know, the birth-related, newborn-related books, whether it's I read the Hypno Babies book. I read Happiest Baby on the Block. I took Taking Care of Babies course when I was pregnant with Dagny. And that expires after 3 months, so I can't take that again. But I did take good notes, so I went back through my notes. But a little early for parenting kind of stuff. But birthing and like newborn care, which newborn care, I guess, is parenting. Yeah. Happiest Baby on the Block, I would say, is really the only one I've read.
I have a book on order. It's called Next Meal's Breakfast.
Is that actually a book?
No, but it should be.
Because that's what your parents said to you?
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to have any appetite issues with our child.
No, because we're going to get them to try everything. There's not going to be,
well,
I don't
not
like
only,
it.
Not only that. It's... You, watch your words, because you're going to have the, oh, I don't like it, child.
I won't.
Appetite-wise, we're both very good eaters. So
yeah,
if our child...
we'll try anything. As long as they see us eating anything, they'll eat anything.
And it starts really, really young.
Right.
I actually believe it starts when you're nursing, because the flavor profile of what you eat is carried over into your milk. And so
I thought you were like shaping a nipple onto whatever food it was.
No. Anyway, that's all. Happiest baby on the block.
Happiest baby on the block and next meal's breakfast.
Which is not a real book.
What if it is?
Maybe it is.
It might be.
Well, I asked you and you said no.
I don't think it is. Okay. I was kind of making it up, but it next very well could
question,
be.
Next question, please.
I would love to hear about changing from working full-time at a good job to starting a business off an idea you have to fill a need. As our family's financial support, it feels impossible. But rationally, I know anything is possible. Maybe what is really stopping me is that I use me out of work time. I'm thinking it's my out of work time to nurture my son rather than my idea.
So it's not either or, right? It's not either you use your out of work time for your family or you say screw the family and you work on your business. There's both. I can't tell you. Okay, this goes back to something we've talked about before. Watch Shark Tank. Seriously, you and I have seen every episode of that series. Probably
close to
20 seasons. And we've seen all of them.
There are some terrible ideas, but get up there.
Well, and the thing is, a lot of them are working parents.
Yeah.
Who still have to care for their kids. They're not millionaires who can hire help so that they're able to pursue this idea. Right. They're finding the way. And so I would really challenge you to not see it as like either I use my not working time to take care of my son or I, you know, put my son on the back burner and work on this business. There's an opportunity for both. Maybe that means you need to go out to bed an hour later or get up an hour earlier or both. That is absolutely an option for you. In terms of, you know, being your financial support, your family's financial support, and it feels impossible, go find evidence that it's not. Don't just say like, rationally, I know anything is possible. There have got to be millions of examples of people who built businesses while having a full-time job, right? And didn't leave their full-time job. Boss Babe. I don't know how many of you guys are familiar with Boss Babe. Huge brand in terms of like female business and female empowerment. And there's two founders, Natalie Ellis, Danielle Canty. Danielle Canty remained working as a chiropractor even when Boss Babe was making seven figures a year. She did not leave her job as a chiropractor until well into Boss Babe's success. That is one example of so many examples. So many examples. So the first part before anything is really not just like fearing that it's impossible, but kind of rationally knowing that it is possible. Go give yourself evidence of how not only possible it is, but how common it is. Most people who have businesses aren't able to just clean slate, walk away from anything else, and go full bore into a new endeavor. Most of the time, it is a gradual progression. Whether we're talking about people who start a real estate career while they have another job, or we're talking about people who launch a restaurant while they have another job. They're probably working for 2 years on concepts and permitting and plans and funding and all of these different things. But also, think outside the box. It's not like, well, for the next 3 years, I'm going to have to do both. Maybe it means that you get some business loans. Maybe it means you do a little bit of both. Maybe it means you bring on a partner, and the partner has more time to put towards the business than you do, but you're working together and collaborating. There are so many ways to do this. There are so many ways to do this, but you won't do it if you're fundamentally thinking it's not possible because of X, Y, and Z. There are millions, if not hundreds of millions of examples of people who have done this, and you just need to go find those examples and eliminate the story of like, it feels scary, it feels impossible. The truth is, that is not what your narrative needs to be. And until your narrative changes, you're going to be on the struggle bus. It doesn't mean that it's easy. It doesn't mean that it's effortless. But you need to go from logically, I think it's possible, even though it feels impossible, to this is so doable and so many other people have done it. And there's no way in the world that all the people who have done it are harder working than me, are more dedicated than I am, or whatever it is. Like that fundamentally it begins with that conviction.
And depending on how old your child is, you can violate some child labor laws. Put them to work.
I wish I had a kid old enough to stuff envelopes and stuff for me. That would be amazing.
Was it easy to transition to having farm animals? Are you going to make or sell goat milk products?
I really feel like this is a question for you because you're 99.9% of farm animal care.
It's very easy to transition to having farm animals unless you want to go on trips, in which case you have to have someone that you can call that will come over and take care of them.
That's the biggest thing. Yeah. I mean, because honestly, like, okay, how much time in your day? We have, for context, how many chickens do we have?
13.
We have 13.
Including the rooster.
We have 12 chickens and a rooster and 4 goats. How much time in your day do you think that it takes to care for them?
An hour.
You think it's that much?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, you got to do some cleaning and things like that. You got to take time to trim the nails. So, you know, averages out to about an hour.
But like on most days, it's food and water and closing them up at night.
And giving them a little attention. I mean, you got to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's totally not like a...
It's not a 40-hour a week job.
No. And it depends, too, on what farm animals you have.
Right. If it was a horse, a lot more work.
Or even a cow, because it's got to be milked every day, and that takes time.
It's got to get pregnant before you can milk it.
No, I know. So I'm just saying that...
We could have a milk cow forever and never get milked, because, oops.
That's true. We only had one cow, and we got a boy.
Why isn't this working?
and in fairness, I don't do much for the animals. I did more before I was pregnant.
Sure.
And when the chicks were like inside and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. Yeah. But now that the animals are outside and I've been basically pregnant for 2 years, Chris does the majority of that.
Making or selling goat's milk products, maybe down the line, once we have a barn that we have that auxiliary kitchen in, where we can do all the cooking crap out there.
Yeah.
And not.
But I don't think we'll sell it.
Up in the house. You never know. Depends on how good it is.
Yeah.
If it's really good, you know, you got to be.
But then that takes more time.
It does. I mean, it could be a weekend.
For right now.
No intention to.
Yeah. Like, even with our eggs, we have way more eggs than we can eat. We just give them away. Yeah. We just give them to our friends. I mean,
throwing them at passing buses has been a great way to get rid of them.
False. Okay. I think we have a couple more questions.
What tips do you have for not going with the flow of eating badly at upcoming summer parties?
The biggest thing that has been helpful to me is remembering how I want to feel. And I know not everybody is in the boat that I am in or has my experience. Like, I've got years and years and years and years and years of like overeating, binging, just blah. I have such vivid recall of how crappy it feels to feel crappy. Even when, like, if we do pizza or something and I like maybe say in one day I have pizza and ice cream, I just feel so lethargic and just not as good compared to I've given myself the experience of eating well consistently to know I have so much more energy. My mood is better. I feel more confident. I feel better in my body. I hate the feeling, and I'm saying this at like, you know, 9+ months pregnant. I hate the feeling of like nothing looks good and nothing's comfortable and blah, blah, blah. Keeping those things in mind, it really shapes the conversation of it's just not worth it to have, you know, 14 s'mores and 2 burgers and, you know, a plate full of chips. It's just not worth it. But so many people won't focus on the full story. And this is why we talk so much in Chasing Cupcakes. I write about this at length. People focus on just one piece of the story, like that looks good, or might as well get it out of my system. It's one day, go whole hog, I'll start again on Monday or whatever. That's not wrong, but it's so limited in the totality of the truth, right? How are you going to feel when you wake up in the morning? How are you going to operate if this is your MO every single time you're social, whether it's a birthday or a holiday or a summer barbecue or whatever else? If this is your MO, where does that get you? How do you feel? Are you proud of yourself? And also, where's the middle line? Some things are super worth it to me to indulge in. Other things just aren't. When Chris and I first started dating, I feel like one of the most common things he probably heard me say when we were on dates was like,
it's not worth it.
It's not worth it. Whether it was a cocktail or
it's not worth it. I'll drink yours.
I just.
Can I smell it?
What? I do say that.
That's now. That's a now thing.
Yeah. Because I can't drink now. I'll be like, can I smell your wine? Can I smell your cocktail? But what's really, really worth it to you and what's not. Some things just aren't worth it to me. Like, and being pregnant, it totally varies because it might be very different on a given day now. But generally speaking, bags of chips, not worth it, right? Pasta salad, not worth it. And yet, when I was in the stage of like binging and overindulging very regularly, it was kind of like, let's go for it. And then you end up eating all of this stuff, 90% of which isn't worth it. So first, focus on telling yourself the whole truth about like how you want to feel, how you want to feel going into it, how you want to feel at it, how you want to feel after it. But then also, what's really worth it and what's not worth it? And for that perspective stuff, which I really think is at the heart of so many of these questions, Chasing Cupcakes is a really, 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 really great resource.
Yeah. I don't think that
your
there's
energy isn't as high today.
I don't think there's really a go with the flow of eating badly at summer parties. I mean,
for you, maybe.
Other people aren't making your plate. Eat what you want. If you want the burger, have the burger without the bun. I mean, there's always ways of doing it.
It's not about feeling the pressure necessarily, but rather giving yourself the pass to just go whole hog. Right?
Yeah.
Which is what I'm talking about. Every choice
is a chance.
There you go. From the mouth. All right. Last question.
How would one start playing keto? Sorry, eating keto.
How would one start eating keto? When I first saw this question, I was like, okay, think about it this way.
One bite at a time.
How would one start eating vegan? Okay.
Don't or do.
First, you would have to know what it is to eat vegan. You would have to know what it means. And then you would just make your next meal accordingly, right? So what you would do to start eating keto is first know what is keto. Now, I've done full episodes on this, so I'm not going to go into it here, but keto is not just low carb. Keto is not just very low carb. The people who act like, well, I can eat my body weight and cheese and heavy cream and fat bombs and that's keto. Wait, no, it's not.
Wait a second. I've been doing it wrong?
Unlimited chicken and steak, that's not keto, right? Keto is more than low carb. Keto is very high fat, moderate protein, low carb. That combination, I'm going to say it again, and I've done full episodes, so you can go to primalpotential.com, search keto or ketosis, and those episodes will come up. But it is high fat, moderate protein. So that means you can't just eat chicken or steak or fish as much as you want. It is moderate protein and it is low carb. So how would one start eating keto? Know what it is and then make your next meal to match that, right? Don't overcomplicate it. Most people who are struggling, one of the primary reasons they struggle is because they stay in the like, I need to know more. I need to know more. I need to know. No, you don't. Keep it very simple. It is very simple. Know what it is and then operate accordingly. And if you're like, oh, I don't know what it is and I don't know what's a reputable source, start by listening to the episodes I've done on it.
Yeah.
And I've done some interview episodes on it as well where I've brought other keto experts onto the show because I'm not a keto expert. I don't personally follow a ketogenic diet. But yeah, that's that. Know what it is and then act accordingly. We got a winner.
We do got a winner.
Changemakers Journal. I'm telling you.
Coming at you.
What was the person's name? Trisha. Trisha said, it's changed your life. And it made a huge, huge difference in mine. We've got so many people who are like, this is helping me reduce overwhelm. This is helping me stay focused. This is helping me stay on task and eliminate distractions. Who is today's winner of the Changemakers Journal?
I hope I assume this pronunciation correctly. It is at Marmaria underscore Bienstar. That's Marmaria underscore Bienestar.
All you got to do is email Christopher at primalpotential.com within 60 days of today's episode that has no episode number. Do you want to know why it has no episode number?
Because it is. Why?
Because I screwed up. I was getting ahead in the baby recording, you know, with the Monday episodes.
And you mislabeled one?
Yeah. So it screwed up everything.
Forever. Until we catch up to that.
No. It screwed up everything forever. There's no catching up. Sure. Because I skipped a number.
What number did you skip?
I don't remember.
Bet you could go back and look.
No. I can't make it up. I just can't number this episode because it is supposed to be 877, but I said 877 is the next episode. So then there would be two 876s, so I can't. Do you see what I'm saying?
Oh, you done messed up.
You see what I'm saying? I done messed up forever. But it's okay. It's not the first time. That's why we have like 1,000 episodes, but
so,
it looks like
so
we have.
So then you really could have two episodes with the same number.
But it would confuse people.
Okay.
It would be like 876 and 876A.
And that's okay. This is 877, so we're fine.
No, 877 hasn't aired yet. It airs on Monday. That's what I'm saying.
So this is 876?
This should be 877, but it's not. Because 877 I already recorded and scheduled for the future.
Okay.
So this is supposed to be 877 because there already was 876. But 877 and everything until August is already scheduled out based on that. So this has no episode.
This is 876 and a half.
Okay.
Happy Saturday, episode 876 and a half.
So, Marmaria Bienstar, is that what you said?
That's what I said.
All you got to do is say for 876 and a half, yes. I won the Changemakers Journal. If you send that email to Chris within 60 days of this air date, we will send it to you no matter where you live in the world.
No matter where you live in the world.
And the rest of you can win. All you got to do, there's three ways to win. Number one, leave a review of this podcast on Apple Podcasts. Guys, that's such a huge help. If you enjoy the show, take a second, leave a review on Apple Podcasts if you listen there. Second way, leave a review of Chasing Cupcakes on Amazon. I get so many messages from people who are like, I love this book. I'm rereading it for the third time. If you have a minute to leave a review on Amazon, that enters you to win. We give stuff away every single week. Or the third way is to post on Facebook or Instagram with an episode of the show that you're listening to, something that you've learned from it, and make sure to tag me. Tagging me on Facebook is tagging at Primal Potential Podcast. And tagging And tagging me on Instagram is at Elizabeth Benton. And you could win next week.
Yes, you could.
And Edge is shipping early, so we might be able to give it away again.
Nope.
Yeah, because
no,
I said,
I've already got two people I got to send it to that have won, and
I
haven't
sent
it
yet. I said last week that we would be generous with Edge once we had, like, what, a 3-month backstop?
Yeah, so we don't have that.
No, I know, but it's going to be shipping, so we will soon. It's by the time this airs, we'll already have
we'll
it.
We'll see.
We'll already have we'll it. See. We have to share.
We can share Changemakers.
That we don't want to share Edge tells you how amazing it
you
is.
You can order your own Edge.
All right, fine. I'll put that link in the show description. But we'll also, we will give it away again. Once we have a backstop.
Like November.
No. Within the next 2 weeks, we'll give it away. Maybe. Within the next month.
Okay.
All right. Because once we have a 3-month backstock for ourselves, then we can start giving it away.
All right, all right.
All right, everybody. Have an amazing day.
Y'all are lucky.
We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening to the Primal Potential Podcast, where our goal is not to help you learn. Our goal is to help you change. This is a year of action. Take something you learned from this episode and put it into action in your life today. To learn more about working more closely with me and the Primal Potential team, please visit primalpotential.com/transform.